The reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21, and that can be found on the Red Pew Bible, in the Red Pew Bible on page 834. Colossians chapter 3, 18 to 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Thank you.
After every catch he makes on the baseball field, he'll look to you to make sure you're smiling. When her friends make the fourth grade pep squad, but she doesn't, she'll look to you for comfort. When she feels misunderstood by her brothers and sisters, she'll look to you for understanding. They'll never stop looking to you. When she walks down the aisle on that magical day, she'll look to you to bring peace to her anxious heart. When he plays his first concert with his new band, he'll look to your face in the crowd. When she makes choices that will break your heart, she'll eventually look to you for forgiveness and restoration. They'll never stop looking to you. And you can never stop. You must never stop looking to God. They don't need you to be perfect. They just need you to be authentic and offer them Jesus anyway. They need you to try your very best, and even if you fail, they need to see you rise up again. They need you to follow hard after Jesus as best you can, because they will never stop looking to you. Son, I'm writing these words to you because you are, and always have been, the legacy I've wanted to leave. Now, it's your moment. It's your chance to leave a legacy of loving Jesus with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. They'll never stop looking to you, and that's the way God created it to be.
Let me pray. Lord God, speak to us, we pray today, and encourage us, for those of us who are fathers, that we would play our role in showing your love to our children, to our grandchildren, that we would constantly keep promoting Christ and his goodness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, I think society is at large recognizing the value of fathers. It was the UK Well, United States President Barack Obama, speaking at a Father's Day event, who said some of these things. He says, "Fathers are our first teachers and coaches. They're our mentors and they're our role models. They set an example of success and they push us to succeed, encourage us when we're struggling, and they love us even when we disappoint them. They stand by us when nobody else will. And when fathers are absent, when they abandon their responsibilities to their children, we know the damage that that does to our families. Some of you know the statistics. Children who grow up without fathers are more likely to drop out of school and wind up in prison. They're more likely to have substance abuse problems, run away from home, and become teenage parents themselves." And I say this, he says, as someone who grew up without a father in my own life. I had a heroic mum and wonderful grandparents who helped raise me and my sister. And it's because of them that I'm able to stand here today. But despite all the extraordinary love and attention, that doesn't mean that I didn't feel my father's absence. That's something that leaves a hole in a child's heart that a government can't fill. Our government, he says, can build the best schools with the best teachers on earth, but we still need fathers to ensure that the kids are coming home and doing their homework and having a book instead of the TV remote every once in a while. Government can put more cops on the streets, but only fathers can make sure that those kids aren't on the streets in the first place. Government can create jobs, but we need fathers to train for these jobs and hold down these jobs and provide for their families. If we want our children to succeed in life, we need fathers to step up. We need fathers to understand that their work doesn't end with conception, that what truly makes a man a father is the ability to raise a child and invest in that child. Says we need fathers to be involved in their kids' lives, not just when it's easy, not just during the afternoons in the park or at the zoo, when it's all fun and games, but when it's hard, when young people are struggling, there aren't any quick fixes or easy answers. And that's when young people need compassion and patience, as well as a little bit of tough love. Now, this is a challenge even in good times, he says. Be especially tough during times like these when parents have a lot on their minds. They're worrying about keeping their jobs or keeping their homes or their healthcare, paying their bills, trying to give their children the same opportunities that they had. So it's understandable that parents get concerned. Some fathers who feel that they can't support their families get distracted. Even those who are more fortunate may be physically present but emotionally absent. Warwick Marsh from the Fatherhood Foundation tells a story of being in Toowoomba in Queensland at a men's function speaking. And a man came to him afterwards. He was a bit cautious. And he told him a story about his playing, I think it was baseball, and his father never turning up. And one day he convinced his father to turn up to watch him play. And so I was only a young boy, and it was on Saturdays, and Dad turned up one day. And halfway through the game, I noticed before he wasn't in the stand, then he was. And as I looked up every so often, I saw my dad talking to his friend and on his phone. I was hoping he would look down from time to time. And at one point, he said, I went to the plate and I hit a home run. And I was running around the bases. And where was he looking as he was running around the bases? Up in the stands. He said, my father had already left. And Warwick Marsh says, what I find strange is just the sad look in the man's face as he told this story. The man was now in his 50s. He said, a whole lifetime of disappointment because of the indifference and absence of a father, and it can haunt you a lifetime. He says, the pain from father wound can be passed on unresolved to the next generation. So there are story upon story. I was doing some marriage prep with a couple the last couple of weeks, and the woman's a fabulous sports person. And I said, how often does your mum come? Well, mum's there all the time. How about your dad? He came once to a water polo game. He never watched me at all. He was busy on business and doing something else. He never watched me. I said, how does it make you feel? I said, it's okay. That's just dad. Dad's, it's got to be better than that. Amen? Dad has got to be better than that. Robert Bly, in his book called Iron John, writes, so I've participated in men's gatherings since the early 1980s. There's one statement over and over again from American males. It's been paraphrased in a number of ways. There is not enough father. David Blankenhorn writes, a social scientist, fatherlessness is the most harmful demographic trend of this generation. And conversely, the opposite is true. When fathers are involved, committed, loving, caring, children do better at school, they have better socialisation skills, are healthier, less likely to be overweight, less likely to engage in risky behaviour, have less risk of teenage pregnancy, less likely to use drugs or get involved with crime. So these same children who have higher father involvement are more popular with their peers, have a higher self-esteem, have better self-control, treat girls better, this is talking about guys, are more empathetic and are happier as well. I've been a father for 25 years. It's not very long compared to some of you. It's a long time compared to others. Okay. And it's interesting watching your children grow, and you realise certain times you can invest more, you spend more time with them, they get older, and some of you are like me going, they just want the car, keys, and the food, and the lodging, and the odd time out at the cafe that you're paying for, right? and a bit more than that. But sometimes it feels the relationships change over that time. But I tell you, I wouldn't want to swap it for anything. I love those times, the privilege I'd had to be with my daughters. I wasn't too sure about the 4:30 rises in the morning to take them swimming training for year after year after year. But I was much fitter back then, so there was something better in that as well. But just to do life with them, whether it's singing or dancing or public speaking or netball or baseball or softball, whatever it was, the privilege of being with families. I want to say to fathers, don't miss out on those times. Don't miss out on those times. You will look back and you'll remember those times. When the kids look back, if all they remember is dad was on a computer or dad was at work, it's going to make a huge difference. And we're called here in this passage, just a couple of principles this morning, to build up our children with love. Colossians 3 says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. In Colossians 3, Paul addresses the right relationships between husbands and wives and husbands, children and parents, slaves and masters, as he does in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. He is writing to men and women who have been saved through Christ, now filled with the Holy Spirit, and he teaches them on how we ought to live now. And we need to remember that godly fatherhood is an overflow of the fatherhood of God in your own life. And in Ephesians 6:4, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't exasperate them, don't embitter them. Now don't provoke them to anger. How do we do that? Making unreasonable demands. Being harsh or cruel. I've seen some of that harshness and cruelty in people towards children. You just need to walk up into the shopping centres, right? Sometimes. Just, you know, the other day I just parked my car next to him, and the way the woman was speaking wasn't a father, it's just a parent was speaking to a child. I wanted to say something, but I just shut my mouth and kept walking. Because if you said something every time someone was being aggressive, and I don't handle aggression very well with people. I think they're a young child. I know, okay, they need to be disciplined. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the way in which they speak, extreme demands. They show favoritism. They may humiliate or suppress children. Vindictive weapons they use is sarcasm and ridicule. Had people say, you'll never amount to anything. Nagging and condemning, insensitive to your child's needs and sensibilities. John Stott writes in his exposition, he says, I wonder how many angry young men, hostile to society at large, have learned their hostility as children in an unsympathetic home. There's a place for discipline, as Paul goes on to say, but must never be arbitrary or unkind, otherwise they will become discouraged, Colossians 3:21. Conversely, almost nothing causes a child's personality to blossom and gifts to develop like the positive encouragement of loving, understanding parents. Indeed, just as a husband's love for his wife is expressed in helping her develop her full potential, so parents' love for their children is expressed in helping them develop their full potential. Don't embitter them, but rather express approval. A few things that I found helpful in showing love to children. If we're not going to embitter them, how do we love them? Well, express approval. You did well, son. You did well, daughter. I got in trouble yesterday because I was given a gift, and I'm always learning, and a lovely pair of shorts. And they were lovely, but instead of me saying, they're a lovely pair of shorts, I said, how big do you think I am? What's their size? My wife said, you never got used to getting gifts as a kid, did you? I said, no. And then they have a lovely T-shirt. I thought, they're both lovely, and I have to remember, thank you for the gift. So I'm going to change the size later, right? I will return it. But I have to express approval. Thank you for going out and doing that for me. I was able to say to Chloe last night, Chloe, and I put them on, and she checked them out. I said, did you buy this? I did. Thank you. They're great. Love them. Love their mother. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Christian husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for it. Sacrificial, committed, empowering love towards your wife. Your children are watching how you treat your wife. They're watching how you speak, what respect you give her, what you do for her. They will love you. They will respect you when you love their mother. Live an authentic Christian life. How many children are angry at their father for being hypocrites? All nice and spiritual, maybe at church, yet ungodly and self-centered at home. And how many angry children will have nothing to do with Jesus because of the hypocrisy of a father? I've heard many. Be involved. Gary Rosenberg is an expert counselor and family coach. If you're going to love someone, you need to be involved with their lives. And in a period, a very busy period in his life, he said, I was just working so hard and I was working on a doctoral degree. And one day, my youngest daughter, now this is cutting, right, presented him with a crayon portrait she'd drawn of their family. She carefully explained to her daddy every detail, including each family member in the picture. And then finally, Gary, the father, was forced to ask, where was he in the picture? His little girl bluntly told him that he was not in the family picture because he was never home. Anyway, I'm a counsellor. I'm doing PhD studies. My daughter, draws a crayon picture of my family, and I'm not in it. He said, I decided to change some things in my life. Scale back some of the counselling caseload. Start to reconnect with his wife and his children. Now, friends, we do know that some people and some of your jobs take you away, interstate, shift work, overseas, some are in the army, some work on mission. So you don't always have the same time with your children as I've been privileged, for example, to have working as a local pastor, kids in the local school and so on. I'm not away for a month at a time in Afghanistan or 3 months or 6 months, and I'm not travelling interstate for business all the time. I'm normally around. And we understand that that is part of life. And John Piper, I remember, saying that his father was an evangelist. He said, my father travelled for two-thirds of my life. He was away evangelising, preaching as a missionary. And he said, my mother never hinted that the absence of my father was anything but a glorious privilege for us to support, and it never entered my mind to resent it, nor does it today. Because they knew where he was, what he was doing, but that needs to be clear. Cheer on your kids. If you love them, cheer them on. At school, at sport, at music. You know, it's great to encourage Jacinta. She was little once, Jacinta, singing out Good, Good Father today. How old are you now, Jacinta? 15, yeah. 16, yeah. And so, she's been up here and we've been encouraging her since you've been singing for a lot of years now, just to encourage her as she continues to use her gifts to worship Jesus and glorify him. And we need to cheer on our kids. I know her dad cheers her on. And her mum cheers her on. And so we need to be cheering our kids on so they know that we matter. And I want to say, when you're involved in sporting teams and other things, cheer on other people's kids too. Let me say that again. If you love your kids, cheer on other people's kids too. When they win that race, when even on the same team, your kid doesn't have to get the gold medal, doesn't have to be the best player of the year every year. Right? Cheer on other people's kids and rejoice in them and talk them up. We need a generation where we are talking up our kids and encouraging them to reach their full potential so you can have an influence on others. Listen. Don Schreier, in a book, What's a Father to Do, talked about the importance of listening. If you love someone, you listen to them. It talked about a young child who was, and you've been in this situation, you know, the young child comes up and starts speaking to you and your mind is in 20 other places. And I said, yeah, I'm listening. And they keep talking and you haven't heard a thing. And I said, Daddy, you've got to listen to me. And they grab you from the jeans or whatever and you're not listening, Daddy. Right? We need to listen to them. And then he says, talks about some positive principles. He says, build up your children with discipline and teaching. He says, do not exasperate your children. In the other passage, do not provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The word means to nourish them or to feed them. So we have this wonderful privilege as fathers to nourish and feed them. But let me say, you can't bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord if you don't know the Lord or his instruction. And that's why important as fathers and mothers and everyone else in the situation to know the Word of God yourself, to feed on the Word of God, to be transformed by Jesus into the likeness of Jesus, to be led by the Holy Spirit. So when you speak, when you act, you are models for your children and you know how to teach them. First, it says training by discipline or even by punishment at times. It's training with accent on the correction of the young. And friends, children need boundaries. They want boundaries. And sometimes you do tough things and you get in trouble. I hate you. Never going to talk to you again. Anyone been there? Wait till some of you got younger ones. Once, wait till they're 15 and 16. But even at 2 and 3 they say that. But so don't let that put you off. Parental responsibility means you love, you honour. Sometimes you have to have the boundaries. No, you will be coming home at this time. No, you will be coming home at this time. Got to work out how to follow through when they don't come back at that time. Told them to. It's all up to you. I've done all of that. Mine are all grown up now. I don't worry anymore. So I drove my daughter to Oakley Station yesterday, my young daughter, 18. She's an adult now. She's free to do whatever she likes, right? I said, we're catching a friend, we're going on a train, we're going into the city with a few friends. So I drive up and quickly, we're going to be late. What time's the train? 7:15. Come on, get in the car, let's go. Get there 7:13, I park outside Oakley Station and she's walking across slowly. I think, man, you're going to miss the train. So I wait there, right? She looks back and says, what are you doing, Dad? I said, come hurry up and get up on the train, I'm saying. I'm not moving, right? Because, yeah, parents' love, father's love never ends. And so then I finally think, oh, well, I should leave now. I'll go up the street, take it slowly. You've got to do a U-turn back, right? Because you've got to turn around and Oakley at the station, come back, and before you go up, oh, well, she's not there. I'll just go home. I've got to take my phone out, put it in my car so I can hear it when it goes off, right? She says, oh, Dad, I missed it. And, yeah, you're right, it never ends. And then 12 o'clock, I text her because I had some friends over. They left just after 12. And how are you getting home? Oh, I've got a lift, Dad. And she walks in 2 minutes later. So where did you go? Weren't you in the city? No, I didn't go to the city, Dad. So where'd you go? We went to Oakley. I said, what in the world are you doing at the station? Oh, we were going to go into the city with a few friends. Then some others, they went to the Oakley Hotel, so we just went there instead. I would have been so much more relaxed if I'd known that all night. But anyway, let's move on. I'm happy to receive counselling and trauma healing later. There's a place for discipline, boundaries, and it's, but don't be too harsh. Allow them some space to be themselves. Secondly, training by teaching. The word nuthesia means verbal instruction. You know, the Old Testament says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So part of what we do is we teach God's word to them. We do it when they're little, do it when they're older, and we try to influence them with the word of God all of their lives. One of the values of a church is not simply that we can teach the word to our children at home, but we expose them, as you've done this morning, to a place where they can hear God's word. They're learning God's word now. So they know that's normal for them. One of the ways you teach, let them know it's normal to worship. It's normal to pray. It's normal to learn about Jesus and to love Jesus. It's normal to serve others and to love your neighbour. When you model this and you expose them and they're learning these things from a young age, they're more likely to continue in it. What do we teach them? Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And some of the things I think about when I'm thinking about teaching the truth to my girls over the years, that God is everything, His glory is our primary mission, His worship is our goal. You know, our five purposes, magnification, we start with that. I want them to know that people are sinners and rebels, but we're saved by grace through the cross of Christ. That life is to be lived in light of eternity. My life could end at any moment. that the happiest people in the world are those who know God, not those who have the most toys. The Bible is God's word. God speaks very powerfully through it. That we, through prayer, express our dependence upon God. That we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. That we must love our neighbour as ourselves. We don't just simply talk about God, but we need to express that in practical ways. That worship and meeting with God's people weekly is a priority. It takes priority over parties. It takes priority over a lot of things. What we do is we gather to worship our God. That God has a world focus and wants us to be world Christians. The nations are yet to be reached for the gospel. And if God calls some of them to go to Africa, to Asia, to South America, wherever it is, that we stand with them and send them. If God's going to call your children to go, that you support them in that going. Life is to be lived sacrificially in Christ's service, and so on. Friends, we must teach it and we must model it. If we only teach it but we don't live it out, we don't evangelize, we don't disciple, we don't go to Bible study, we don't love the poor, we don't serve in a variety of ways, they will notice that. But when we teach it and we model it and they come with us in that ministry, they will follow our Lord. I always say, play the movie forward. It's a great expression. What will your children, what will our children, what will my children look like in 10 years or 15 years' time if we do not teach them and model to them authentic, radical Christian living? If we are too busy with our careers, our houses, and our leisure pursuits, play the movie forward, where will they be? For many, they will love the attractions of this world and the pleasures of this world. They will be absent from church, and we will wonder why they're not interested in God. They will break our hearts, and if we fail to do right now, I think we will reap the effects later. We will have to live with their sexual immorality, their idolatry, their non-Christian marriages, their pursuit of worldly glory. Play the movie forward. That's not to say that there's a guarantee that because you do all the right things, they'll become Christians. That's not always the case. But we've got the greatest chance to influence them for good as we pray to God and as we teach the truth and model God's truth to them. And friends, fathers have a significant role as we consider that on this Father's Day. We still need fathers, God glorifying, holy, radical, Christ-imitating fathers. And if those fathers are not in their life, then we need other men to step into those places. Youth leaders, uncles, auntie, or even aunties and other women to play a part there. May God help us to raise our children to know and love God. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you today that we remember your fatherhood. You're a good, good father, and we're deeply loved by you. And that love has been demonstrated most clearly in the cross of Christ. And so we ask, Lord, with a sense of thankfulness with the privilege we have of raising children, for those of us who have been blessed with children and those blessed with grandchildren as well, and even great-grandchildren, that we would so live for Jesus, so love him that we would love our children, our families, and that we will model to them Christ-centered living. And Lord, may you work through us, refine our character, change our behaviours. Those of us who are fathers to be better fathers, more authentic fathers, more loving fathers, more present fathers, more listening fathers. That we would have a greater impact and leave a greater legacy. To the glory of God we pray. Amen.